We have a number of visitors with us today, and we're very happy that every one of you that are visiting with us, that you came to be our guest today. And we hope that times will come in the future that you'll be able to revisit us, and we could be friends and make friends today and enjoy one of those company down the road. But we're glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here in the audience to listen to a sermon that's presented from God's Word. Now, I invite you to open your Bibles, please, to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Now, I'm just going to read verse 1. It says, "Take heed that you do not your righteousness before men, to be seen of them, else you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." We could have taken these first 18 verses of Matthew and presented them in a single lesson. But the more I thought about it, I want to just take a pause. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount, preaching sermons from that, to take a pause, because there's a change that's taken place. You've heard it was said, now I say to you. We saw that in chapter 5. But now he's still dealing with the problem of the scribes and Pharisees, in contrast to how we as Christians should behave ourselves in the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God that Jesus was about to set up. And he's letting us know what we should be thinking about. And what he does, he takes a pause by saying, "Take heed that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen to them." And the importance he connects is that if you do, there's no reward that the Father who is in heaven is going to give you. We're on earth, Father's in heaven. We're beginning to learn that in this 6th chapter, he sees in secret, he sees in secret, he sees in secret. Yes, he does. There's no reward, and we're doing righteousness. And so I thought it would be good to look at that particular statement, because it sets us up to understand better what's coming and the rest of the chapter, at least these first 18 verses. And to help us realize we can be caught up in something when we're doing that which is right before God. And what God is saying is that he gives you a caution light. And the idea that it can be dangerous territory we're entering by doing righteousness. Doing what God commanded, we can lose a reward from the same God who commands us to be righteous. And because of what he's already said and what he says here, I think it deserves a sermon. And we're going to look at that briefly this morning. As we look at these first 18 verses, where we'll talk about our praying, first of all, our almsgiving, and talking about our praying, and talking about our fasting. We're not going to talk about that today, but that's what is in store for us. Those are acts of righteousness. God commands us to pray. He commands us to give alms. He shows us the wisdom in the New Testament, though he never commanded it, but he shows the wisdom in practicing fasting as we think about our life as a Christian. So we look at those things. I'm doing righteousness. It's my righteous acts he's talking about. But there's the danger. Take heed that you don't do it with the wrong motive. We're talking about your heart. And we're talking about things that can be a dangerous thing when we're doing what God commanded. It can be vain. It can be vain. I don't know in a lifetime how many times we assemble to worship. We know how long people live and how long they can, you know, I can come into public worship. Sometimes they can't do that. It's number of times. And we worship God. We sing our songs. We pray. First day of the week, we come every first day of the week to take of the Lord's Supper as God has commanded. And we do that, and we're to be thinking, and our minds should be engaged. But can we have the wrong motive? Does it affect how we live on the streets and our jobs? Are we phonies? Are we phonies? Are we spiritual phonies? And I think I heard that used one time, and I think it's very accurate. We can be a phony when it comes to doing our righteousness. And I want to consider that with you this morning. Because what are we talking about when that takes place? And first of all, I want to see, well, you told me that I need to be doing good works in this Sermon on the Mount. And I realize that doing righteousness is important. 1 John 2:29, you know that you're righteous if you do righteousness. And you'll show that you've been begotten of God. What if I don't do my righteousness? And he just says here, don't do your righteousness. If we didn't look at the context, we don't do righteousness. We show in our righteousness, 1 John 2:29, that we're born of God. It's part of the new birth. There's a change in our lives. We're to do that which is righteousness. And didn't Jesus say in this same sermon, at the beginning of that, let your light shine before men. Don't do your righteousness before men. And that we're going to say to be seen of men. So we realize indeed, is that going to be a problem that we have? Because he said in Matthew 5:16, we're to do our good works and we're to let our light shine before men that they may see your good works. That's mankind. See your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I'm not supposed to do righteousness. Matthew 5 and verse 20, unless my righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, I won't enter into heaven. And you won't either. So it's not about doing righteousness. It's not about doing righteousness before men. Matthew 6:1 again, to be seen of them. Our motives is that I want to look righteous. I'll give my alms, prayers in public, those things. I'll make it look like I'm fasting because I want to be holy when I am not in my heart. We're doing holy things, our actions, we're singing, we're praying, all those things. But deep down, it's all about us. It's all about the glory of men. And that's a caution. Because we, at our best, doing what God wants us to do, we can fall into that trap. And Jesus says, just take heed. Beware. Here's our caution sign. That you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them. Else you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. What is that problem? It's called hypocrisy. It's called hypocrisy. The Greek word was used in the Greeks and times to portray, to set forth an actor who is on a stage, who's playing a part. Now we have our favorite actors. But sometimes they put on the mask that portrays a part that's really not who they are. And hypocrisy can come into our hearts and cause us to have the wrong motives in our service unto God. And that's what Jesus is warning about. Before he gets into how they should do their righteousness, and what he's doing, he's still comparing the idea of, how is my righteousness to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? Because what it means is that I want to look good. But my looking good will be, say, what you see. But inside, it's not that. The motive is totally wrong. Motives are important with God. There's no reward. There's no reward if our motives are wrong. Think about that for a moment. Why are we baptized? What's our motive? For the remission of my sins. But we do it for the wrong reason. Our motives aren't tuned with God, how God wants our motives to be. And we're giving alms to be seen of men. We're praying and letting people see what's a holy man. Look at all the words he uses in that prayer. Oh, what a holy man. And I'm going to let you know that I'm fasting. That's what Jesus is about to get into. But all it is an actor. The world's my stage, and I'm a phony. I'm just playing a part. Could that be you and me when we assemble regularly to worship God and to listen to his word, and we then go back out into the world is this all spiritual phoniness? It's not with God. It all has its place in strengthening us and glorifying Him, but it can come into our hearts. And we want to make sure it doesn't come into my heart. So who is he still talking about? Your righteousness, chapter 5:20, is to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. They were the lawyers of the law. They knew the law of Moses. Scribes and Pharisees. Pharisees were going, you got to cut that, you got to cut it straight, according to their loopholes. But the scribes, they were the teachers. And Jesus has scathing things to say about them. Turn with me to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And we'll tie it in with Matthew 6 in a few moments. But in Matthew 23 and verse 25 through 28, I use those passages. He just has woe to them, and he calls them hypocrites. Scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites is how he discusses this. So when we come to this section, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and of the platter, that the outside thereof may be clean also. He hadn't given up on them, has he? But he tells them who they are. Yes, I'm a scribe. I'm the one that writes down the Bible carefully, the scriptures carefully. I studied them. Yes, I'm a Pharisee, the strictest of all sects of Judaism. And we're holy people. You're also a hypocrite. That's Jesus calling them that. Jesus knows the heart. And he is bringing forth his woe of wrath of God upon them because of that. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which outwardly appear beautiful. If you could ever make death beautiful, it's that outward sepulchre, it's white. But inwardly are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Now listen to this. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but inwardly are full of hypocrisy and sin or iniquity. That's what we're studying. Outwardly, you appear righteous, whited sepulcher, but inwardly are full of what? Hypocrisy. I thought hypocrisy, just putting a mask in front of you, yeah. But inwardly, you allow it. Where does hypocrisy begin? Inside your heart. Your heart's not pure. It's getting caught up. How do men think about it? How appear unto men? That becomes more important because that's where our glory comes from. I don't think God has ever reached down and patted me on the back and said, good sermon, preacher. I've never heard it either. Never did that. I'll go through my life and never hear that. But in my life, I've been encouraged by people who did pat me on the back, say good. And I've got to be aware of that too. Beware when they all say good things about you. We have those warnings too. But that's encouragement. Encouragement here, encouragement there. Encouragement. Well, what do they think about this? And I'm going to do things that please them. We get into that trap. If we're solely involved in the idea, well, I get encouragement from them. You want the reward now, and you want to forfeit the reward that's important, God. There's no reward God gives you when we do our righteousness to be seen of men. We appear righteous, but our heart is not right. But what does that have to do with Matthew 6 and verses 18? Well, verse 2 and verse 5 and verse 16. Notice what he says. When therefore thou doest alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do. He didn't name scribes and Pharisees. But he does in Matthew 23, doesn't he? Because that's exactly what they're doing. They appear righteous before men, but inwardly, they're full of hypocrisy. That's the problem. Caution, hypocrisy can creep in. And that they may be seen in the street, that they may have glory of men. They want the glory of men. In verse 5, when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Want the glory of men, want to be seen of men. Because that's what we do, we're seen of men. I don't know where God looks. No, by faith he does. God knows, I know he, by faith. But I see this. I can see that. And you begin to be caught up in that. For I say unto you, they have received their reward. And in verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may be seen of men to fast. Oh, what a disciplined man he is. And Jesus is going to tell us how to avoid that, but I just want to bring it up right now. He's speaking still. Your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, or you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they're hypocrites. And you and I can be one too. Beware, you can become a spiritual phony. All may act godly. You may go around, and I am a strong Christian, and appear on the outside, but inwardly, that's what counts. And that's what we're to realize. I'm not going to let that get into my life. Well, we'll listen closely in these sermons because he's going to tell us how we avoid that. But right now, he's speaking about the scribes and the Pharisees. And the problem, we need to avoid the hypocrisy that comes out in doing that which is right. Because what it'll do, it'll create vain worship. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 29th chapter, in verse 13. We're going to start here because this is where Jesus will start, will help take us back to. But I want to look, beginning with verse 13, of what he says to his people. And the Lord said, for as much as these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men which hath been taught. They don't really reverence God from within. They've been taught to do that. It's all teaching. It's all just doing what I've been taught. Their heart is far from me. Listen to what God thinks. Therefore, beloved, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. His is the wise way that they were living, and what they were doing, they were just playing a part. Their heart was far removed from them, and the fear of me is just a commandment. Now, with that thought in mind, go to Mark, the 7th chapter. We could do Matthew 15, but Mark deals with this as well. In Mark, the 7th chapter, notice in verse 6, and he said unto them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. Vain worship, because their heart is far from me, as they utter praise with their lips. Their mouth says one thing, whew, look at me. Their heart is revealing another. We don't see. He called in this idea, they're hypocrites. But they teach as their doctrines, the precepts of men. I think that could tie back to what Isaiah said. The fear of me is just a commandment. The fear of me is just a commandment. They learn it. In vain do they worship me. We just supposed to have a fear for God. And I'll say that, I reverence God. But your heart is far removed. And yet we're going about before men. Well, they look holy. They're praying. They're doing all these things. What does God think about it? I'll tell you what he thinks about it. Turn with me to Isaiah 1. When Isaiah 29:13, written by the same prophet, he's inspired of God. And this is what God thinks about it. What unto me is the multitude of your sacrifices? Isaiah 1:11. I've had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. That means fat beasts. Oh, give God the greatest. Give him the fattest. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tremble my, to trample my courts, they're trampling this courts. Bring no more vain oblations. Increase is an abomination unto me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of assemblies. I cannot. Away with the iniquity and the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary bearing them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Oh, let's pray now. I'll hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. But he hadn't given up on Israel, just like Jesus hadn't given up on the scribes and the Pharisees. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. They were not living the life outside of the synagogues, not the synagogues of the temple in that day. They weren't taking care. So inwardly, it'll come out in your life. You won't care too much about the people that you ought to be helping. But you, many prayers, will offer the best of our flock and our beast for the sacrifice unto God. Aren't we holy? No, we are phony. We're hypocrites. And what happens, it makes all of our vain work. How many years have you been serving God? Many prayers? All of it is null and void. It's empty. No reward from God in heaven. And I pause to think about that. This is a great caution, because I will spend the rest of my life, as long as I'm going to worship God. I'm going to say sermons. I'm going to learn more about my Bible. All has a purpose, and the purpose is not for self-glorification or to be looking good before men. That can creep in, and it creeps in to preachers real quickly. And we have to, no, I want to avoid hypocrisy. I know what God thinks about it. It makes him sick. He said, I'm going to cause the wise man and the prudent man to perish out of Israel. And so just to think my worship, oh, how much worship have I done through the life of through years? All to be vain in the last, because I did not heed the caution sign that I can do righteousness and it becomes vain before God because my heart's not right. And we usually, is thy heart right with God? We usually think about, or is your heart, you feel the guilt of sin, you need to become baptized? I'm teaching the Christian. That's what Jesus said. You may have been baptized, and you may be doing all your worship. I'm asking you, is your heart right? As you worship God today, is your heart right? You're here before men, and we take a number. We don't take names, but we put a number every way. How many's here? But are we here with our hearts right and our worship unto God? And that's what he wants from us. Otherwise, our worship is vain. That's why we need to heed the caution sign. Secondly, we can become holier than thou. Come with me to Isaiah, the 65th chapter, in verse 5. Oh, I would never think that. I'm a humble person. Just listen to me brag. No, we can be have a wrong attitude, and we start looking down upon others. That's what the problem is. And I think he brings this very closely related to this point in Isaiah 65 in verse 5. When he says, that say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. You ever say, well, you got a holier than thou attitude. Well, that's scriptural, isn't it? Because what they're doing, they're practicing their own religion behind the scenes. Verse 6, they sit among the graves, which would be unclean. They sit among the graves. They lodge in the secret places. They eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels that say, stand by thyself. Come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke to my nose, God says. What does that mean? It's an irritant. You ever had smoke go on your nose? It's an irritation. That's what it is with God. A fire that burneth all the day. Just think about it. God created us. He created worship so we would adore Him in the way that He's pleased. And what happens is that I'm practicing my own type of religion. Oh, you may not be eating swine's flesh, but you're doing your own religion and doing what makes you look better than others and how I'm superior than you. I look down, I'm holier than you. I would not say that, but that's what my heart says. I'm better than you because I do this, I do that. Well, are you doing what God says because it's just a commandment? Is your heart still there? Or is your heart really behind it? You'll show in your actions. You'll show in our lives. But we can have that holier-than-thou attitude, and it will come out in our prayers. And Jesus gives an example of that as He speaks a parable to drive home the point of where we can be. In Luke 18, beginning verse 9, He spake unto also this parable of certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and all others said it naught. I would never do that. I may think I'm righteous, but I don't look down upon others. It follows. I'm the one that's righteous, and there's my heart. I said all others said naught. So He said He's going to expose the heart. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, I'm not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as the publican, but I'm a hypocrite, and don't look at me. He sees you. He sees you. I fast twice in a week. I let everybody know that. I give tithes to all that I get. Wonderful. But the publican, can I lift up His eyes to heaven, just be merciful to me, a sinner. Why does Jesus bring out a Pharisee? Because they're hypocrites. And what happens is that, stand away from me, I am holier than thou. And they're really not being God's people at all. They look like it. They know their Bible. But it's all spiritual phonyism. That's what it is, a phony. And they begin to set their own laws, but there will be no reward for them in heaven. And we need to heed the caution sign, because it can be a leaven that spreads around us. We have our friends, and we're all kind of going along this way, and therefore it's okay. It can happen. It can spread to others. Look at Luke the 12th chapter in verse 1. In the meantime, when many thousands of the multitude were gathered together, insomuch that they trod one upon another, Jesus was at His popular moment. Thousands were crowding in to be around Him. He began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They said, why is he worried about leaven? You know, he thinks leaven of bread. I fed the 5,000, I fed the 4,000. You think I'm talking about bread? I'm talking about the hypocrisy. That's the leaven among the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees.
because of their loophole finding? No, their hypocrisy. They look good. They say the right things. But their heart's not there. Their heart's not with me. And I often think about when I read this passage, I mean, Jesus was popular. Why don't you just back off this thing about Pharisees and hypocrisy? Back off of that a little bit. You're at your greatest moment. We see in John 6, he was at a greatest moment, but he began to lessen the crowd because they didn't understand what he meant and he wasn't backing off. And he said, first of all, you beware. Take heed of the caution sign, disciples. You beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, because indeed can spread. And this is what's said in Luke 11:44, it can spread to the innocent people around you. Woe unto you, for you're as the tombs which appear not. You're really a tomb, but the grass has covered that. They don't see as a tomb, and people walk right over that. They become unclean. They appear not, and the man that walk over them knoweth it not. He just tramples over that which is holy. And your influence is there. It's a leaven that spreads to others. And all of a sudden, they look at that. Well, there's the life of a Christian, but you're going to do what you want to do as a Christian, not what really God says. And sometimes you're doing it just because it's commanded. And when you think about those three things, our worship is vain. We don't like the person that's holier than thou. Do you? Who are you to be holier than thou? But we become that way in our hearts. I'm glad I'm not like those. I'm special. And we can become a leaven that spreads to the whole church. We realize that, well, everybody's doing about the same thing. I can just rise up to that standard and it'll be all right. Not the standard of God, but the standard that we lay and we live and we are influencing other people. May we never influence people here to feel comfortable with their hypocrisy. It's already started in their heart. We're not to let it spread to others. So I'll leave with you how to deal with that. Jesus is going to do some details for us. But at this point in our lesson, I want us to realize we focus on God with a purified heart. As I become a Christian, I want to purify my heart from the guilt of sin. And I focus upon God. He gave his son. And I obey the gospel. But I'm also speaking here about Christians. As we go about doing what's right, what God has commanded, sing, pray, give, listen to the sermon reverently, you've done that. And I'm determined I'm going to live it out in my life. That's wonderful. But I need to keep on focusing upon God with a heart that's full of pure motives. I'm here, I do my works before men that they may see my good works, but it's to glorify you, God. That's why this is not a contradiction of what Jesus has already said in the Sermon on the Mount. It's going to be seen of men. Our works are to be seen of men. But the motive behind it is I'm just looking good. When in reality, I'm not. I'm a spiritual phony. And I may not even realize it yet. But it can lead other people go on that route. They don't know they're stepping over unclean tombs. And they may not have expressed it in a prayer like the Pharisee did. I'm not like him. But they're just honest with God. Here I am with a purified heart, and I'm focusing upon you. Do I want my reward from you, O God? Or do I seek to be seen of men and to receive the glory of men? And to look holy when I'm really not. I'm just playing a part. And I think when I focus on God and I listen to lessons like this and realize I'm going to heed the caution sign. I'm going to come back everything I do unto God, for God. I'm going to make sure my heart's right. In a sense, I'm not here to be glorified by men. I'm seeking the glory of God. That will help us. That will protect us. Because, ladies and gentlemen, how are you going to live this life if you're not going to live righteous before God? You're going to have to do your acts of righteousness. It's commanded of us. And you say, well, it's just too dangerous. Well, think about how many things that we have in life that we have to do, but we have signs that it can be a bad thing to do. I remember on a golf course, I never understood the sign, but I think about it a lot of times, do not drink agua. Well, what if I'm Hispanic and I don't know English? And it says agua. Agua, there's water here. It's standing there in a pond that's polluted. And I know enough about, that's water. And I realized, well, water is essential. I just go there and get me a drink of water where all the balls fall out when you don't make the green. And it's contaminated, dangerous. Do we quit drinking water? We have underground water systems. We have to make every year that indeed they don't flow back into our house. Why? Water is essential for life, but it's dangerous. Electricity. We might be able to live without electricity. People have done that before, but we got it now. But there should be a caution sign. Don't wire this up if you're not a professional. Be careful. You can shock yourself. You can kill yourself. Don't wire all the warnings. We got to have electricity. Don't worry about that. We get in our cars. We got to have our cars. Well, we can walk, but that's dangerous. A lot of things we do that are right, that are essential to life, and we heed the caution signs. And I just ask you to heed this caution sign, that when we keep our hearts pure before God and realize with humility, I can be there, God, help me not lose the motive that I need to have to serve thee when I'm doing my righteousness. We're not going to quit doing righteous acts and talk that religiosity. And it's not about religious, it's about being spiritually identified with Jesus. That's a cop-out. Being spiritually identified with Jesus to show I'm begotten of God is that I will do righteousness. Because that means I'm begotten of Him. But let's get our heart right, set it upon God's word. When I read a command, I'm going to put my heart into it, and that's going to be how I'm going to serve God, because God said this. It's not I learned by rote. If my heart is involved with that, and we will be guarding against the hypocrisy that can take us into eternity in hell. It's worth a sermon. And I thank you for listening. This morning, if you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become a Christian, because without Christ, there is no hope. He's the way, the truth, and the life unto the Father. No one cometh unto the Father but by Him. So if you haven't dealt with Jesus and making Him the number one in your life and realized through Him, you can have the salvation. We want to encourage you to think about that. And if we can help you obey the gospel this morning, let us know. Come as we stand and as we sing.